spoken, mate.
I haven't thought about flying for a long time. I haven't dreamed of that moment when I was alone above the clouds for a long time. I haven't dreamed waking up in a room surrounded in blue and green grass for more years than I could dream of memory. I haven't walked back into the past or scratched on the doors of my origins, where it all came from, to hold up that cape for the last time.
Return to Kent Town 10th Year Anniversary Edition is a revised version of Andy N's first poetry book. The book can be purchased from Amazon and it contains numerous additional material.
Spoken Label.
Hi, it's Andy N from Spoken Label. Thank you today for streaming or downloading another episode of Spoken Label. Spoken Label was originally set up on beginning of 2016 and as of speaking has currently nearly 300 sessions. The full archive is available on Spoken Label, bandcamp.com. Although it is available for free for stream and download if you wish, I am always grateful for any sort of kind of donation to enable me to keep the running costs of this podcast going. And enjoy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Spoken Label.
Hey guys, Andy and Spoken Label back in the house on an Easter Saturday. Yes. Now, this is an interesting podcast today because we have, if people watching the video, they can see, four guests here, not one, two, three, or four guests. Yes. Now, what we're doing here is there's going to be two podcasts done today, part one and part two. Part two will be featuring my guest in a bit, ML, but he has asked, first of all, could he bring a few of his students along to read out some of their poems? So I'm going to let ML take control now. Over to you, my friend, and would you like to, first of all, introduce your first student?
Yeah, well, a couple of them are students, and Robert is a young faculty member in the creative writing program at Wayne State. So I think I'll introduce Alexa Ball, Alexis Ball. I always think of Alexa, and now I just said that and my thing's starting up here. We'll start saying, what do you want? Alexis Ball, she was a student in my introductory creative writing class. She's in my publishing class, but when she was in the class with Nick, I quickly noticed that her poetry, I thought, was pretty sophisticated and pretty good, especially for an introductory kind of class like that. So, and now she's in the publishing class, so I'm seeing her kind of weekly again in a different capacity. But I want to introduce her. I'm not sure if we've ever talked about where you're from, Alexis, or not. I don't know where you're from, what city you're from. I will say this, I love your backdrop. It reminds me of either the SRC album cover or a Allman Brothers album cover, but anyway, Alexis, over to you. Why don't you favor us with a few of your pieces?
I am from Sterling Heights. Just, I guess, to answer that question, let me know if you stop seeing me because I'm switching tabs. But I do have three poems. And this first one that I'm going to read is actually one that I started writing in that introductory creative writing class, and I've edited it over the past year or so, reformatted it. You might remember it, but it's titled Dawn. Dawn, an apple glaze upon the grasses, nestled beneath cobwebs speckled with dew. Sun, scarlet eye risen over the horizon, a warm beacon, bringer of life and day. Tree, dancer, overseer of land, towers alongside wind, onlooker to all below. River, reflecting fuchsia sky, frothing fish, rock, whipping, humming an endless hymnal. Field, grass tendrils teem with creatures and pollinators, fauna and flora alike under dawn. And then, thank you. And then I have a second poem that I actually submitted to our Wayne Literary Review, and that is being published in the review, and it's titled Willard. And it's about little images that I have from the old house that I used to live in when I was very young. Willard. A place only in fond memories, twisted by time's unrelenting grasp, lost to new people with new lives. Plastic panels fraying, white turned gray paint and spindles support the overhang of childhood. I miss disheveled sidewalks, traipsed to old neighbors, now faceless apparitions. The toy soldiers buried in patched grasses, domesticated on linoleum flooring and dog hair carpet, bound to years of families nomadic. Carnation pink walls and windows, I watched the boy next door dribble and dunk after my bedtime. Nights spent witnessing life, not mine, under notions of forever, never grasping the fragility of placement, what is now will not be. The crib, fish tank lullaby machine playing the most serene twinkle twinkle little star as plastic fish dance in stale water. Green doghouse settled in the back corner of the yard among mud and weeds, eaten by time and stripped of tenants lost to death's grip. The home found on Willard, crossroads for impoverished upbringing and childhood built on love for the simple, becomes a shell of former residents far grown. And this final poem, I more chose it because of the form, which unfortunately you guys cannot see right now, but it's a poem about, I guess, my experience that I may or may not have with marijuana, that I more may not have because I'm only 20, but it is titled Green Out. Throat burns as lungs inhale fog, a slug strapped to concrete in blazing summer sun, but hidden under a canopy swirling in hotbox fog that stings eyes and fills lung black with mold. Unrelenting claws of red envy strike scleras and forked stretches, mind melting into the woolen moss opening up beneath, sinking deeper as it swallows the helpless. Mary Jane's embrace becomes a strangle, chest caving in a fallen bone cavern, heavy with regret. Inchworms travel skin under clothes and tug hairs. Muscles wrinkle despite the motionless shell compressed. Lips graze filter to drag another cloud from the rolled cage, keeping ground greens close.
Brilliant.
And that was my final poem.
Brilliant stuff.
Excellent
stuff, Alex. Now, obviously, for our viewers today that may or may not know you, tell us a little bit about your writing background. I'm not going to obviously ask you loads of questions. I'll be honest here, all our guests today, including yourself, Robert and Dick, and I want all three of you back on Spoken Label at a later date anyway. So tell us a little bit about yourself as a writer then. So have you been writing since you were a child then, have you?
Yes, I have. I guess the farthest back memory I have of writing is in my first grade class, where they gave us these sheets that we would write a very short story and draw pictures with it. And it was like the best thing that we ever did in that class. It was my favorite thing growing up. And it's something that I never stopped doing. And I guess I started with writing fiction, and I've definitely moved over to poetry, and it's something that I much prefer now, something that I have more fun with. A lot of my poems tend to focus either on memories that I have or on naturistic images that I want to write about. But yeah, I definitely write poetry now, and I really enjoy it. And I've been doing it since I was very little.
Brilliant. Do you have any sort of ideas where you'd like your work to take you then eventually?
One more time.
Sorry. Do you have any ideas or what direction you'd like your work to take you in?
Right now, because I'm working in the publishing practicum with ML, I'm really looking to go into editing and publishing when I'm older. And I hope that translates to my publishing of my own poetry. Getting to know more about the process and what goes into it and what my strengths and weaknesses are. But I definitely would like to publish poetry in the future, hopefully.
Brilliant. Definitely. We'll get you back on Spoken Label when you're ready. And I'll do the item is the deep dive, Vivian. I'll ask you lots of difficult, horrible questions. Right. Back to ML now to introduce our second poet of this little episode.
I just wanted to ask Alexis, did you go to Sterling Heights High School?
Yes, I did.
On 15 Mile?
Yes, I live right next to it.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Because we used to do a thing. I wish Alexa would shut up, but not you, but my thing here. When I say your name, it starts telling me. It's telling me about Sterling Heights High School right now. But anyway, we used to do a thing. This is probably before you got there. I don't know. Maybe you heard about it. But we used to do a thing where I'd come in for a week with various musicians, some of them pretty well known. I mean, the students didn't know who they were. But we would do performance poetry workshops with members of the school band or the students who were in music there and students in creative writing. And we put people in a group and they'd have to work out. We'd show them a bunch of different stuff and perform stuff for them. And then put them in the separate rooms around the band room. They had these nice soundproof rooms, put, you know, four or five students in them. And then they'd have to create something. And we'd spend the rest of the day creating. And then we would put a big show on before school got out for other students and stuff. And it was pretty cool. And we did that for, God, I'd say 5 years. Kathy Searson probably wasn't there when you were there, right? That's not a name, you know?
Mm-mm.
And I think the band teacher went to some other school too, but it just worked perfectly. And many of the students ended up being in classes of mine at Wayne State later. But I always remember that fondly. Even when I drive by there sometimes, I think of the good times we used to have. Mm-hmm. We did one thing on the big stage in there. I don't know if you went to any shows on the...
I did theater in there, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we went on the big stage for one of our shows, and I ended up inviting the entire audience on the stage for a final piece. So we had like 100+ people on stage. I remember that because when I first saw The Clash in 82, before they finished, they invited the entire audience on stage while they were playing. And, you know, eventually you couldn't see them at all and everybody jumping around and stuff like that. Anyway, so I thought, well, this seems like a perfect place to do that. So mm-hmm. everybody came. Then some guy I went to high school with, I think he was drunk, showed up on stage, and I hadn't seen him in like, you know, 30, 40 years. But anyway, and also I'll mention to Andy, just so you know, marijuana is legal in Michigan. So, you know, I don't know when you guys are going to get on the bus with that, but.
It needs clarifying, obviously. It's not legal in the UK, unfortunately.
Oh, I know it isn't.
Yeah, so.
I was gonna put my gummies in Nick's bag, but he didn't go. All right, let me introduce Nick. And Nick, tell me if I just noticed it, but is your name Lowengruber? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that's my last name. I don't want to put it on here because it's too long.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, so Nicholas is a creative writing student. He really, as I remember, started out doing fiction and maybe is still doing fiction. I kind of thought of him as a fiction writer. He did a lot of the prompts with us and stuff like that because he's a good sport. But he was focusing on fiction. And he's the editor, one of the editors of the Wayne Literary Review, which is our school literary review that's been around since the 1950s. And he is the current editor along with Meredith and now I'm blanking. Why am I blanking?
Luke.
Luke was in, actually Luke and Meredith were in Manchester with me because of the study abroad we do. They were there this year. But anyway, so he does that. And I think he's on to, you know, producing some significant work as he continues along on his path. And I think Robert, you are in Robert's workshop now. Is that correct?
Currently, yeah.
Okay. So he's in Robert's. And Alexa, are you too in Robert's class? No. But she will be in the near future. So please welcome Nicholas L. Take it away.
All right. This first poem, I actually shared with Robert, but it's not one I really worked on too much. This one's called A Product Reset Team. The sand mandala slowly succumbs to urban entropy in the space that exists between satiation and hunger. In a transcendent uniformity, remove the city, the place remains the same. Grains of sand, only to giants, are arranged with the care and precision of forceps, with flowing grace and flurries of steady bedlam, fervorous displacement, careful upheaval and sorting to upheave again, to conjoin in straightened lines to wildly displace in whirlwinds stirring from storms unconscious before settling. The lines, meaningless in magnified attention, become a repetition. Gloria in excelsis taideo. Like Adam, the grains are identified with God-given visions or directions for the damned, like sheep with the crimson X's painted in their wool to be slaughtered, pulled from shelves like fish via hook and pried like oysters, shedding the footprints in old beaches, we fill the piles with newfound emptiness, displaced in service to creating a transience, creating inevitable holes again to fill. All right, I had another one on here, but I've lost it. Right now I'm looking at my huge Microsoft Word document with all my poetry. I'll just read out this one for now. This is one that is hopefully going to be featured in the chat book that I'm creating for Robert's class, for our final. He's having us compile some poetry and then put it together. And so this one is called From the Moment You Died, You Started Dreaming. At the first zero hour, sprawling out on the horizon, the haunted hour, all the painful was gone. You were in yourself, recounting the marks. Your fingernails, sudden on the sidewalk, facing down like a fire hydrant. Sick sweat and dirt passed under your skin. Possession, through a reaping touch of brushes, you pushed like needles through a sweater, never could bring back how you weeded your creation. With such delicate hands, you needed to capture air back into your atmosphere. But if you couldn't breathe, it wouldn't matter. No one else would have your chest to feel the light. Distilling. The last bit of caution held, chattering and shivering, like a rabbit kicking free of finger prison bars.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent stuff indeed, mate.
Yeah, wow.
Really, really impressed with that.
Robert's doing miracle working in that class.
No, Robert's been putting in the work, I can tell you that.
That's very good poetry, Nick. I mean,
really, really enjoyed that
with your stories, but this is a new thing. I love it. New level.
Yeah.
You might end up being a poet, huh?
What I really enjoyed about that, Nick, was, and you can tell, I could see your fiction side of it, and that has arise straight away then. And then I mean, when you do it, because like I started off as a poet originally, and I branched out in other things myself nowadays. And when you move from one genre to another. I think it's easier to do sometimes. And have you found out yourself, Nick, then, starting off as fiction and moving on to poetry?
It's really funny that ML says that, because I more started with poetry than fiction. But I had always taken, at least I had noticed, a more narrative direction in a lot of the work that I've done. And so, but I've also done some short story work, some longer form stuff, not as often, but it's something that I have done in the past, and some of those skills transfer over.
Yeah, something different.
I would say, I was just going to say, definitely, since you're putting that chapbook together, you should use it in the publishing class too. since you're putting the work in. Because I'm having them do a creative side project. One thing could be that, but since you're working on it anyway.
Yeah, Alexis, Luke, and I were actually thinking of maybe putting something together, but we'll have to see how that pans out.
All right.
Finger sauce, great stuff, mate. I look forward to chatting to you again in the future, Nick, because I really, again, as of Alex, Alexis stuff, and I really enjoyed that. I think when you're in a different country like I am and you talk to people that are different backgrounds to you, you could sometimes get a real lot out of the work because you're seeing things they don't necessarily see. And yeah, excellent stuff, mate. Back to ML for our final introduction.
So I'm going to introduce Robert Laidler. He is from Detroit. He earned his MFA at the University of Michigan, but he's come back to us at Wayne State, which I'm very grateful for. He's a fine poet. I know he's shopping his book around, but I don't think it's going to be a long time before that happens, for him. And he's a very sophisticated poet and he's a great teacher. So I'm going to, when I retire, leave the reins to Robert to run everything. And I'll just check in on him from my wheelchair in the nursing home. Please welcome Robert Laidler.
Thanks, ML. And thanks, Andy. Nice to meet you. I'll resume for this. This is cool. And then Alexis and Nick, your work's really cool. So it was got me really excited. I was going to read something completely different and y'all started reading. So I'm like, nope, I'm going to read funny things today. But thank you for that. I think I only have 3 to 4 and 3 of them are sonnets. And then one of them is something completely new that I'm working on and recently got obsessed with. So I'll read the sonnets and then I'll kind of give maybe a quick intro to the last one, which is kind of weird, but also funny. So this one is called Modern Truly Freedom Sonnet. And this is written directly after, I think, getting my first poem published and, you know, my like mentality when it happened. So humbled, honored, really fully convinced I am all of this. I see my name on a website and underneath a poem of mine and underneath a bio and underneath a copyright clause and underneath a couple stitches and a handprint and another photo of someone who looks like me. And a pan of dirty rice and a large bowl of salted grits and a mother and father splitting like the poem. I see where I am going and think nothing about the swarms of bees outside my stoop, my big above ground pool we can't afford to open this summer, my nappy headed yard and bushes. Don't mention ants or bugs. I've sprayed so many different times. I think the yard is possessed, but not us. We are free still, all three of us. Like porch lights or security fences or high beams through gates of a bunch of things that don't matter, trying to matter. The next one is called Modern Serious Sonnet. You know the feeling. This was written after an angry thing. And then I also watched the movie Straight Outta Compton. So it kind of like, you know, I don't know why. Here goes. It may not mean to you all what it means to me, and that's okay. We have our way of dealing with things, said Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton, the movie. This, however, isn't a movie, and I am not rapping about things like drugs and police. I am not telling people about my love life. I am not what the muses ordered. I am not a model either. But let's be honest about something. I was done wrong, and the only ones who care about those who were also done wrong are the people who did the wrong themselves. Imagine in a different state that they have your head on a spike, but you're not there to blink or say your final words. Imagine how much time it takes to tick off of a clock in a room where you sit wondering if that little guy is going to pop up and use a bat like Ice Cube in a Priority Records office in the movie, breaking glass floors and ceilings that he definitely cannot afford to fix. And the last sonnet is kind of in response to what's been going on Twitter this last couple of weeks. I don't know. Twitter's kind of crazy and poetry Twitter is the worst thing in the world. So this one is called Modern Sonnet About How to Get Published, a Poem to Heal Our World. The first step is to make sure your hamster has a first name like baloney. add a bunch of salt to your hamster, then just say a bunch of stuff about how you don't like people and ate shawarma that one time and now you are ethnic. Pray. Then when you say amen to the little zoo animals you want to be free. Turn that into a grouping of things. Say things like fish and home and yesterday. I caught a tiger by the toe and that sucker really bit me. Lie still on a curb. Tell all the people this is why you protect the ones you love. Then make up a lie about what you do in privacy, in the privacy of your very own cone. Then shape yourself into a pillar. Then write a poem and say, after every line that no one understands, but they really feel it in their bowels. Release the Kraken. Kill your dad if you have one. Don't be real at all. And then boom, you are famous and you have a Twitter. Okay. And then the last one. It's called, and then it all becomes numbers. So my wife and I, we have a 1-year-old and we just bought our first house like a year ago. And we, the roof that's on our house is the original. So a guy came and talked to us about how much a roof would cost. So, and this is a part of a series called Ask the Horse. And it's about the joke where the guy's like riding a horse and it runs past and he's like, where are you going? And he's like, ask the horse. So this is one of those ask the horse moments in my life. If we let statistics be sticks of static, our numbers will become people and then the outside of the zone where there is no zone or need for a zone and a zoning and is a farce and so is the planet's back will melt. Some of us, angry at people who believe the earth is flat, haven't read the back of a gum wrapper and haven't let the sun shine in their window and think, what if everyone is lying? I'm not a flat earther. I'm also not a number. Let's try this again. One time when all the sunshine is done raining and all the skin is cancered or crisp, like chicharrones, and I can choose to say it authentically, but I will say pork rinds for the remainder because that, in a sense, is also authentic. We will all become like piles of dust balls, and then there will be this thing that happens where all the sentences go too long. Is it okay if I tell you a secret? Okay, to begin, there are plenty of things numbers cannot do. One said lie is the first, but we all know, like the ball in a pin. In a pickup game, numbers don't lie, or maybe they don't like to lie. If I counted 12 but only see 12, I might not have counted wrong, but I definitely didn't get it all. And maybe that's why it can't all be numbers for you. Math is like the beginning of the room, starts in a corner, then they just build up until the sky, until there is a roof. The numbers didn't add up when Gregory, or whatever his name was, came to talk to me and my wife and gave us a quote for how much the roof replacement would be. To be honest, I had no intention of buying anything. I just wanted to know what it would cost to prevent the caving in for another 50 or so years. The number was way lower than I thought. I was so happy. Then I remembered that my daughter was here because she woke up during the meeting. Gregory, or whatever his name was, talked loud like he was in a shouting scene in a movie. Maybe Training Day, but he had been with the company for 10 years. They trained him one day to yell as loud as he can to wake up people's kids, I imagine. Gregory, or whatever his name was, seemed disappointed that we wouldn't be helping with his commission, his great commission, go and make shingles of all nations. I wonder what this was and has to do with anything. He left his card on the table, his business card, unfortunately, not his credit card. And I called my wife to the table, yelling loud, look. Look at his name. His name is literally Gregory or whatever his name is. This didn't happen, but imagine if we were all numbers. Thank you.
Fantastic. Really, really good stuff. Thank you for that, Robert. Absolutely tremendous, mate, with it. So, ML, before I ask Robert a quick question or two, is there anything you would like to ask him?
Myself? I know he's doing really significant work and you've been getting published in journals and stuff along the way, I would assume. Is that correct, Robert?
Correct. Yep.
So, and you're still shopping your manuscript around, even though I told him where to go get it published. He's ignoring my suggestion.
I'm being very selective right now because I like revamped it again. And I think I'm doing that thing that I want to do with my work, which is if I'm going to put it out there, I want to be behind it 100%. And I think last time I was at like 98.756. So I'm like, I got a couple more percentage points to go before I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm ready to follow it to the ends of the earth if I need to. So I'm almost there.
Brilliant. I'm not going to keep me on long, mate, this, I promise you. Two quick questions from my side. obviously, if we have a publisher listening tonight, what can you reveal your manuscript is about? Is there anything you can reveal?
Yeah, so it is about the birth of my daughter, and like the process of growing up. So it starts in the year 2013 when I think first started wanting to be a poet seriously, and it goes all the way to 2024, and a lot has happened in there. I got a job at Wayne State as a professor. I graduated from UM with my MFA, but also like some terrible things. My wife and I experienced a couple losses. She had a miscarriage first, and then my daughter was actually a vanishing twin. So it's kind of talking about those things from the perspective of like a man in Detroit who's like struggling with what those things mean, and you know, how to like kind of come to terms with all those things, but also like turning my back on the state of poetry in the best way possible, kind of like going back to the core of what poetry was always meant to be, which is just like what this is, like sharing, connection with people, reading poems and people saying, oh wow, I didn't think of it that way, or you know, just like the relationship aspect and not the capital P poetry. So the beginning of the book does talk about capital P poetics, and then it just kind of like decides, you know what, I'm going to write a bunch of poems about myself dressed up as a mole running around Detroit. So and then it ends on the poems written to my daughter. So yeah.
Cool. Really good, love it straight away. Now the other question I want to ask you is, obviously I know Crunch Party, your little set you've done for us, is on sonnets. So how long have you been writing sonnets for, and what drew you to this quite specialized form?
Sonnets for a long time, actually. I tell my students this story, so Nick is going to be annoyed, but I read Louise Glück for the first time when I was like maybe 22 or something like that. And then I wrote like 300 poems about flowers, and they were all equal length, and they were all like, you know, between 14 and 16 lines, and they will never see the light of day. And they were really bad, but I think that was my first like experience with writing sonnets. And that's where I get my kind of like my experimental side from, which is what we practice is how we learn how to do a form, not like what I write to be published. So writing those 300 terrible sonnets actually taught me more about the form than if I would have wrote like one good one. So they were really bad, but they also taught me a lot about sonnets. So I've been writing them since 2013, 14 around it. Yeah.
Respect, mate, for that. That's a good effort. No two ways about it. Yeah, I've done some sonnets and I'm hopeless on them. I might have to speak to you afterwards to get you to teach me then, definitely, mate. But anyway, Robert, thank you again, mate, for that. Now, I want to thank, obviously, Robert, Alexis and Nick now for this extra special session today of Spoken Label. I'm going to speak to all three of you separate, and we'll get you back on in for a full session, I promise you. It's been a pleasure today. And thank you to ML for doing the introductions here today. So it's been grateful. Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
All right. This is the end of another little episode of Spoken Label. I'll come back soon because we're going to do another episode with ML. And see you all soon.
Spoken Label.